Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the summer session of the Young Israel Vladimir 6-week summer session series. So we are in the 3 weeks. Oh, I just want to mention that a friend of mine is having a procedure today at noon, and if we could have her in mind that the shir should be a zchus for besoros tovos and success in the procedure and refuah shleima for Sarah Bas Rivka besoch she'archa le'Yisrael. So we're in the 3 weeks, and this week, this Shabbos, yes. Baruch Hashem, yes. So this week, this Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Av. It's also the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen, as mentioned in Parshas Maasai. Different shir, which I'm not giving today. The only Yahrzeit in the entire Torah is the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen, which is extremely relevant and telling, but we're not talking about that today. So I want to start by talking about, you all have a handout. If you don't have a handout, you need to get it, please. I want to start by talking about last week. So last week, my husband and I went to Florida for a few days, and I really never, ever, 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 ever take off, ever, except for Chol Moed Sukkot and Chol Moed Pesach, which is not really, you could say, taking off or a vacation. Baruch Hashem, I love Yom Tov, but it's not the most, I don't think you can define it as vacation relaxing, so we went away. So we went to Florida. I really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, but we couldn't get there. They were supposed to open it. They didn't open it. We couldn't go. So we went to Florida. You don't have to worry about Minyan. You don't have to worry about kosher. So it's perfect. I did not realize when we booked that where we were staying at the St. Regis Hotel was a couple of steps away from where the street closures began. So it was about a 5-minute drive. It was a 20-minute walk down to the site of the building collapse. And it was only about a 4 or 5 minute drive. And the street closures began right where we were. If you're familiar with the area, there's Collins, which runs parallel to the ocean and the boardwalk, and then there's Harding, which runs parallel to Collins. If you're not familiar with Harding, I'd say it's sort of like Central Avenue. It's where you go to need to get food, and there's a CVS, and there's a public supermarket, and there's a lot of food, and there's nail salons, and there's shops. Okay, 5 minutes from our hotel was the food, and 5 to 7 minutes was the shul, two shuls, and everything was wonderful. Bashir, we didn't rent a car or make any plans. We would not have been able to drive anywhere at all. The street closures began by our hotel, so the traffic in the surrounding area was terrible. And, So when we would go out to get food, or the first couple of days, all you heard was sirens. Hey, we arrived there Sunday afternoon. We asked the Shaila about flying on the fast day. It's fine. So we arrived there Sunday afternoon, and you just heard constant sirens. And every time we went out to get food, I almost couldn't focus on anything else because you were sitting there on Harding, and I can't explain. It was closed. It was literally non-stop. There's a point, okay? We're getting to Ashir. We are getting to Shira, and it was literally nonstop emergency personnel and vehicles. Fire trucks, the sheriff, police cars, motorcycles, Salvation Army, trucks with generators, Verizon trucks, flatbed pickup trucks, so to speak, with a garbage can full of water bottles. I never knew there were so many kinds of emergency vehicles in my life. Towards the end of the week, we were there for 4 full days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Towards the end of the week, we left very early Friday morning. Towards the end of the week, there were convoys of dump trucks being escorted by police cars going down. The sirens and the flashing lights and the vehicles was nonstop. I can't explain what nonstop means. Nonstop. We saw coming down Collins one day, a flatbed towing a car that had been totally smashed and covered in piles of debris on the front windshield, and it was very jarring. We saw a lot of dogs. One day at one of the non-kosher restaurants on Harding, we saw 3 handlers, dog handlers, sitting with their dogs by supper time, a beautiful German Shepherd, a pit bull, and one more from the canine unit. It was very interesting. They gave me the dog's cards. It looked like baseball trading cards, the dog on the front and the stats about the dog on the back. And they were not part of the police force. We saw police dogs. They were not part of the police force. There's a canine organization somewhere in America that sends out these dogs to different disaster sites, lo aleinu. I said, the dogs must be so tired. Obviously, thank them for their service. The dogs looks totally osmensch, if you could use that word, to refer 3 beautiful dogs. So it was very jarring and surreal. And then on Thursday, it got even more surreal because on Thursday, President Biden was at our hotel. So I'm getting to what I want to be discussing. On Thursday, President Biden spent the day at our hotel. First, I was panicking when I found that he was coming. Our flight was Friday morning. And yes, we had a simcha, so I had to get home. And I said, oh my gosh, what if I'm stuck here? Okay. So he came Thursday to our hotel. This was even more surreal than the whole rest of the week. Because first, early in the morning, we saw by the sandy boardwalk made of sand, the path behind the St. Regis. All of a sudden, there was like 6, 7, 8 police cars lined up. And then the security personnel, the Secret Service, and what looked like armed soldiers, not what looked like, I don't think they were soldiers, but armed guards started swarming the pool area. This was like at 9 o'clock in the morning, patrolling, and we wanted to go get food on Harding, and the inside of the hotel was swarming. I don't know how to describe what it looked like inside the hotel. There were little cameras that had been put up by the elevators. We saw Senator Mark Rubio. I mean, he was right there. And you know Danella Cava with the short gray hair? She walked right by me, and the woman next to me thanked her. I was too stunned to say anything. It was a very overwhelming experience. There must have been, I thought, 100. My husband said, for sure, more than 100 motorcycles parked outside in President Biden's motorcade. The reporters were camped outside all day because he was in the hotel till 5 o'clock, at which point he did a couple-minute drive-by by Surfside, and then on his way to the airport. And it was extremely interesting. I've never had such an experience. It's very hard to describe what it felt like. The bloodhounds and the canine dogs and the Baltimore, the Maryland license plates, as well, motorcade was flown down. The hotel was full of security personnel all over. The motorcade parked in the avenue. I mean, it was just impossible to describe. But Bekitzer, at the end, we waited on the corner of Harding, and I don't know what it is, what the corner is, Harding and whatever, where his motorcade was going to be passing by. And it was after the whole week of experiencing, so a friend said, I bet it was a very different vacation than you expected. I said, totally. And it was after this whole week and then the whole day of being in the environment of the President of the United States of America, and I'm not talking about what you think of the President of the current President of the United States of America, or whether you voted for him or agree with his policies or not. I'm talking about the institution of the President of the United States of America. And finally, when they were ready to depart the hotel, first the 80 or whatever motorcycles went down Collins, and then the presidential cars. We also saw a Jeep with IDF personnel while we were there, and the motorcycle, then Biden went down to Surfside, down Collins to the building collapse, and then back up Harding, turned the corner, and passed right by. So, I mean, I have a picture of the presidential limousine with Jill Biden. She was on our side. We were on the side of sidewalk where she was sitting. So the president must have been on the other side looking up the other sidewalk. They passed right by. It's very cool. You know there are two cars? There are two identical limousines because one is a decoy. You never know. Literally identical. They're the same black limousines with the presidential flag and the American flag in front. You don't know which car the president's going to be in. So they are preceded by 80 motorcycles and their own security jeeps and police cars. It was an unbelievable procession. So let us begin with the first source on your handout. This, it's on the corner of the bima. You really need one, okay? This is from Rabbi Akiva Willig, who is the Rav of Beis Medrash Woodmere, where we daven. You went too far. Karen, come back. The Rav of Beis Medrash Woodmere, and he has a Beis Medrash Woodmere halacha WhatsApp chat, where people post questions, and my husband says like he needs to publish them in a kuntres, and he gives very detailed answers. So my husband went back to the Beis Medrash Woodmere halacha chat, and he looked up, upon seeing the president, do you make a bracha? So let us begin. Rabbi, oh my gosh, I have to screen share. Sorry, everybody, 1 minute. I forgot about you on Zoom. Not really, but 1 second. Here we go. No, that's the wrong one. That's for my next year. Okay, could you see my screen? Yeah, okay, let me make it a little bit bigger for you. Okay, can you see? Okay, very good. So Rabbi Akiva Willig writes, the Gemara Maseches Brachos, by the way, you're going to see he's referring to presidential impeachment. I think that this was written under the Trump. At one point, they were talking about impeaching Trump. Yes, no, maybe, yeah. Okay, so my husband went back to the a few times. Okay, so my husband went back on the chat and found it. So when he mentions the impeachment, we're not talking, but it wasn't written right now. So that's it. Rabbi Akiva Willig writes, the Gemara Masachas Brachos records various blessings to be said upon seeing and following along with you a particular individual or a unique sight or an event. Among those brachos is the bracha upon seeing a Jewish king. What is the bracha upon seeing a Jewish king? Shechalak mikvodo liyareyav. He apportioned from his kavod, God's kavod, to those who fear him. And the bracha of shenasan kvodo lebasar bedam, he gave from his kavod to flesh and blood, which is said upon seeing a non-Jewish king. The Radvaz writes, in order to recite this bracha, when do you recite this bracha? You can't say Shem Hashem for no reason. In order to recite this bracha, a king must have the ability to execute. And nobody has the ability to overturn his ruling. That's the definition of a king. He adds, for this reason, the bracha is not said when seeing a minister of a monarch, because ministers do not have absolute power. See the Mishnah Berurah. So it's very sourced. These are his tshuvos are extremely thorough and very, very interesting. He should publish a kuntras. The poskim all point out the president does not have this sort of power, and that should be reason not to recite the bracha. Nevertheless, some argue, because the president can pardon one from execution, it is reason to see the bracha. And again, if you're following along, you see that he quotes all the sources. This is coming from source-based halacha. However, other poskim believe, because the president is elected by the people, we're not on a dictatorship, it is not an absolute monarchy in the United States of America, because the president is elected by the people, he does not have complete power, and therefore the bracha should not be said. Rav Moshe Sternbach, and it's funny, I'm going to quote him later in the shiur in regard to a Torah insight. Rav Moshe Sternbach, he is the rivet of the Eda Acharedi Shlita in Yerushalayim. Rav Moshe Sternbach adds that because the president can be removed from office through impeachment, the bracha is not said. So this is halacha. I always say I don't teach halacha. I'm quoting a rav. So I would not say anything like this on my own, but Rabbi Willig also gives all the sources that he is quoting. Interestingly, two of the president's limitations mentioned in the poskim played out this past week. The Congress began a process of hearings to possibly start the process of impeaching the president. So in other words, it's proof that the president of the United States of America does not have absolute power. Therefore, it's not the definition of a king. Therefore, you would not be able to say the bracha according to this mahalach. Additionally, it was reported that the president's administration wishes to reinstitute federal executions, which have not been performed for 16 years, and this plan was blocked by a federal judge. So in other words, the president does not have absolute power to have the final word. The Kaf HaChaim writes, this second paragraph of Rabbi Willig, the Kaf HaChaim writes, this bracha is not said if the king is not wearing royal clothing. So in the United States of America, the president does not wear royal clothing. Based on this, Harav Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, records that when President Richard Nixon visited Israel in 1974, the bracha was not said, said Rav Avadia Yosef, because he appeared in regular clothing, and so he did not appear majestic. Last sentence. Because reciting this bracha for a U.S. president is a matter of debate, and Shem Hashem Levatala is a Dil Raisa, I'm adding those words in, we apply the principle of Safik Bracha Lekula. I'm sure you've heard that. If you have a Safik Bracha Lekula, if you're not sure, so you're Mekel, because the Inyan and the Isser of saying Shem Hashem for no reason is extremely dangerous. So, because reciting this Bracha for U.S. President is a matter of Safik amongst the poskim, we apply Safik Bracha Lekula, and the Bracha should not be said. However, if one wishes, oh sorry, I forgot to move the screen. However, here I'm up to the last sentence. If one wishes to recite the bracha, then they should do so without saying Shem Hashem. So what did I do when the car passed by? First of all, I didn't see the president. I saw Joe Biden. Okay, so that's certainly not the king. And I saw Joe Biden, not the president. I'm just going to see. Okay. And I did want to... I said the words without Shem Hashem, so I wasn't really making a bracha, When the car passed by, I said, Baruch Shanasan Kvodo Lebasar Bidam. The experience of being in the same place as the president and seeing, I know I can't describe it. If you weren't there, it's impossible for me to explain exactly how it was. It was extremely moving, extremely surreal, and there were a lot of lessons in Avodas Hashem. So there's one specific lesson that I want to talk about today. When the motorcade passed by, I did say Baruch Shanasan Kvodo Lebasar Vadam. I did not use Shem Hashem at all. I also said some kapitach of Tehillim, and I was very emotional. After it passed by, I was literally choked up. Like, I could not talk to Mezman. I had tears in my eyes, I was emotional. Why? Because all I was thinking to myself is, what will be when Mashiach finally comes? I texted one of my sisters in law because I was sending her the pictures. She said her kids would be really, really interested. They're interested in history and nature, etc. So she said, Michal, you're so cute. But I was really very emotional and choked up, and I really could not talk. And I said, Shir Hamalos B'Shuv Hashem. I said it with Hashem's name, Ashiva Tzia and Hayinu Kechom. And all I could think to myself is, look at the kavod that is given to this human being. Again, I'm not talking about whether you agree with the Biden administration or not. I'm talking about the office and the institution and the position of the President of the United States of America. It was really an unbelievable day. I don't know. I think it was worth going. It was a crazy week, but it was worth going to experience this. From 9 a.m. till the motorcade passed us at 5:30 p.m., you couldn't even get away from it. You know, Senator Mark Rubio and Daniela Cava, the mayor of Miami-Dade County, and the press conferences, and I can't describe it. But I thought to myself, you have to stand in the street to see 100 motorcycles, and then the cars, and then the police, and the two presidential cars, and more motorcycles behind them. Look at the kavod, look at the excitement, look at the feeling, look at the emotion for the President of the United States. What will be when Mashiach comes? And it's so relevant because we are dafka during Bein HaMitzarim. Paul wrote, Fahi hisigu ha-bein ha-mitzarim. It's a pasuk from Echa, Perak Aleph, pasuk Gimel. All of her chasers overtook her between the straits, and from here, Chazal say, we call this time period bein ha-mitzarim, between the straits. We are in the narrow places. Rav Soloveitchik says, and you know, the reporters, for example, they were waiting outside our hotel from, I think, 8 a.m. until he left at 5:30. Like, they were just standing there. No, literally, because we went back and forth to Harding a few times. Public service announcement. My favorite restaurant is The Carrot. If you didn't eat there, go and bring me something back. Oh my gosh. When I went to speak in the Young Israel Bal Harbor, January 2018, I was there for less than 24 hours. And I was invited to dinner. Actually, Rabbitson Rina Schechter's grandparents hosted a dinner, a beautiful dairy dinner in their apartment before the Shear, so I only had opportunity to go for lunch. I went to the Karen. I've been dreaming about that wrap for 2.5-3 years. So, okay, we went there every day. So, why did I tell you that? Because we went out a few times to get food. We couldn't really go anywhere else on Thursday. There was, like, nothing else to do. The reporters were there all day. They were just standing there. How long do we wait to see the president? Lahavdil, how long are we waiting for Mashiach to finally come? Rav Soloveitchik says the name Elohim, the name of God, Elohim, refers to God who requires that a Jew have faith, patience, and perseverance. Elohim is the name of requiring a Jew to have faith, patience, and perseverance. Says the Rav, and I quote, this is from the Sefer Vision and Leadership, it is very hard to wait. And yet, the Jew waits and waits. Every day, he says, Ani Mamim, I believe in the coming of the Messiah. And even though he may tarry, nevertheless, I wait for him every day. The Jew who communicates with Elohim is greater than the Jew who communicates with Hashem. Hashem is the fulfiller of promises. But Elohim is the God that requires us, the manifestation of the one God who requires us to wait. When God bestows grace upon the people, says the Rav, it is not difficult to be a Jew. And there's no Meron, and there's no bleacher collapse. That was at Sarah Vishnitz? No. What was it? Shavuos. Colin or Stalin? And when there's no building, I mean, you know, I said to my family, a person thinks about illness, lo aleinu, terror attacks, lo aleinu, motor vehicle accidents, lo aleinu. When a person goes to bed at night, they think, here I'm safe. And the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world in the way we don't understand, and the ways we can't fathom. And says the Rav, when God bestows grace upon the people, it's not so difficult to be a Jew. Nevertheless, during the long, lonely night of exile, which we are currently in, and during these 3 weeks, we mourn for this long, lonely night of exile, the Jew did not lose his faith in Elohim. Hashem did not reveal himself. Golus is synonymous with a degree of Hester Panim. Sometimes there's more Hester Panim, like the Holocaust. Sometimes there's less, like the establishment of the State of Israel. But Hester Panim is a condition of Golus. And yet the Jew did not lose his faith in Elohim. Hashem did not reveal himself. But the Jew who waits is great indeed. I have a typo. I need to get a pen. Sorry. I just saw it as I'm reading it and not as I prepared my shiur. Do I have a pen? Yes, I have a pen. The Jew who waits is great indeed. And every day we say, Ani Mamin, Vavias HaMashiach, Va'af Al Pisha Yes Mamer Im Koza, Achakula B'chaim Shava. I said to my husband, so we knew that he was making his remarks at 10 to 4 at the hotel, 3:50, after meeting with the family and the security families and the security and rescue and recovery personnel. So we went back to the carrier, so I could get an avocado up and a fruit smoothie, and we were going to go away for a minute. We were waiting, and he was behind schedule, I guess. I said to my husband, should we leave? And I really wanted to see it. My husband said, no, we'll wait, and we're waiting. I said, you know what's going to happen if we leave? He's going to drive by, and we waited. But I thought to myself, how long are we waiting for the Geula already to take us out? The temple is destroyed in 68 Common Era. It's almost 2,000 years of waiting. And yet, says the Rav, the Ribbono Shel Olam requires that we have faith and patience and perseverance. And the Jew who waits is great indeed. There's a fascinating commentary to Chumash, which I'm putting back on my screen. The Pasuk tells us in describing Makos Choshech, the plague of darkness. So it's the next source on your handout, the last two sources on page 1. Please look inside. Vayeid Moshe es yado al hashemayim, vayhi choshech afeila b'chol eretz mitrayim shloshes yamim. So this is describing Malchus Choshech, and Moshe lifted, stretched his hands out over the heavens, and there was a thick darkness in the whole land of Egypt for 3 days, and we know that there was 3 days of regular darkness and 3 days of darkness. Rabbi Jurovel writes in one of his kids' book. I read it to my kids when they were so much younger, but I never forgot it. It was like chocolate pudding. But it's a good description, not really a joke, because we don't understand what it means that the darkness was tangible and it was thick. When we think of dark, it means you can't see. But the first 3 days was regular dark, and the last 3 days, lo kamu ish mitachtav, a person could not even get up. If you were standing, you couldn't sit. If you were sitting, you couldn't stand. So Rabbi Jurovel writes in his parsha books, it was like chocolate pudding. It was tangible. But the Perush HaRash, the Rash was a Rishon, teaches something not related to Malchus Choshech itself. We know by Malchus Choshech, wait, I should just say before we look at the Rashi tells us, why did we have this darkness? So Rashi tells us, which is not on your handout, that there were Rasha'im, Hahayu Rasha'im, Ba'oso Hador, Shalohayu Rotzim Latzeit. There were wicked people in that generation who do not want to leave Egypt. Umesu Beshloshes Yimei Afela. And they died during the 3 days of chocolate pudding darkness, so that the Egyptians would not say, no problem, we're dying and you're dying. So apparently your God has no power either. Everyone's dying, the Jews, the Israelites, and us, the Egyptians. So they died during the 3 days of intense darkness. How many actually died? We know from Parshas Bishalach, the Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim. So there's different ways, Mizuyanim, they were armed. There's Targum Yonason on Chamushim Alu, which is very, very interesting. But one of the Bishatim on Chamushim is only one-fifth of the Jews actually left Egypt. Four-fifths died. Millions of people in Malchus Choshech. So the Rosh says, please look at your handout. For those having the handout on your screen, it's the bottom of page 1. Yesh lishol, you have to ask a question. Ma isha ne'amar, what does it mean when it says, shemesu kol harashayim b'soch shloshes yimei afela, that all of the wicked sinners died during the 3 days of deep darkness? Vidasan Vaviram, Lo Mesu, every time you have problems in the desert, who are the troublemakers? Who leaves over the man? Who makes it get wormy? Who joins Korach's rebellion? Who was fighting with Moshe? Who was hitting each other? Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim, Lama Sakes Reyecha, Achein Noda Hadavar. Who tells them? Moshe, who's always causing problems? Dasan Vaviram. They're the biggest troublemakers. The Dasan Vaviram Lo Mesu? Shahayu Rishaim Gemurim. They were Mamish Rishaim Gemurim. Wicked, pure, complete sinners. So why did God spare them? Millions of Israelites. Millions of Israelites died. If it's 4/5 during the Shlosha Simei Afela. So why didn't they die? Yesh Lomar, remember this Rosh, hang it up. Yesh Lomar. Af al pi shehayu rishaim lo nityayishu min hageula. They did not despair. They did not have a sense of yeush. They never gave up on believing we're gonna get out of here. And for that alone, they were zocha to survive. Millions died. God could have taken them. The desert would have been much easier. There would have been a lot less machlokas. There would have been less problems for Moshe. And the Rosh says, Befeirish, they were Rishaim Gemurim. So why did Hashem spare them? Mipnei shelo nityashu min ha-ge'ula. They didn't have a sense of yeush. They didn't have a sense of despair. They didn't have a depression. I'm not talking about a clinical medical depression when a person needs medication. I don't mean that. They didn't feel we're stuck here forever. We're never going to get out of Egypt. And sometimes we look at this, it's 60 ACE to 2021. It's almost 2,000 years. And the world is such a confusing place. Olam is from the word ne'alam. The Ribono Shel Olam is hidden, and we don't understand anything. And we wonder, is Taka Mashiach ever going to come? My grandfather wrote, I'm sure some of you have heard me say this, because I say it a lot. My grandfather wrote in his memoirs, Yitzhak ben Moshe, Alav Hashah, my maternal grandfather, wrote in his memoirs, it's called In 7 Camps in 3 Years. His first wife was killed, his 18-month-old daughter, Dvorah, Hashem Yikom Dama, was killed. And he wrote in his memoirs, we lay on the barracks at night, and we spoke about the murderers, my grandfather writes this, that they were sent by God, my grandfather writes this, and their end is near. He was a Talmid in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Whoever, it was in Yiddish, and my mother had it professionally translated for us. Whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this hell will live to see Mashiach. That's what he wrote. How many tears, how many Jews have said, Ani Mami Be'emuna Shleima? For how many years have we recited Megillas Eicha? You know how Megillas Eicha ends? If Yirmiyahu wouldn't say it, I couldn't say it. Ki ima'os me'astanu, katsafta aleinu ad me'or. Isn't it enough? If you have utterly rejected us, if you have utterly rejected us, okay. But haven't you raged sufficiently, Ribono Shel Olam? And we look at the world, and just look at this past year and a half. It was an insane year and a half. Remember the riots last summer? Remember the boarding up on Central Avenue? Remember the lineup at the gun stores, hours long, because we were terrified for our lives? Remember the COVID pandemic? It wasn't so long ago. Look what happened in Eretz Yisrael, Rachman Atzan. They opened up, they took away masks. It was opening July 1st, not July 1st, August 1st, masks again, Delta variant. All the people who lost their lives. I'm sure you saw one of the individuals in the building. It was only Rosenberg, Chaim Rosenberg. Was that his last name? Yeah. He was 52 years old. His wife died last time of a brain tumor. She was sick for 3 years. His parents died within a few weeks of each other from COVID. A month ago, he bought the place in the building in Surfside on Collins Avenue to have a respite from his year and to have some rest and relaxation. His daughter and son-in-law from Lakewood had just flown in to be with him. And all three were in the building at the time of the collapse. So his wife died last year of a brain tumor. He was 52. How old could she have been? His mother and then father died a few months later of COVID within a few weeks of each other. And he and his daughter and son-in-law were in the building. So I ask you if we understand anything in this world. And do we ever feel a sense of yeush? So the Rosh says, you know why Dasan and Aviram got out? They were Rishaim Gemurim. They didn't give up. Every day they said Ani Mamin and they meant it. They believed they would get out of Egypt. What did Yosef say to the brothers? Vayash be Yosef es Echov. Lamer, Pakod, Yivkod, Elokim, Eschem, you're going to get out. And it was a Masorah that went from Yosef to his brothers to their children, all the way down to the tribe of Reuven, to Dasan and Avirim, and they believed it. They were Rishayim Gemurim. But their redeeming factor, pun intended, for which they were redeemed, was you're going to get out. We're going to sit on the floor. By the way, I'm speaking Tisha B'Av, the annual Rachman Atzan, Tisha B'Av Shirat Yang Ezra Vodmir 130. Some of you, I'm sure, have attended in the past. We're going to sit on the floor. We're going to read Megillas Eicha. The tears are upon the cheeks of Yerushalayim. Ein la minachem mikol ohavaha. There's no one to comfort her. Lo aleichem kol evrei derech. Ruva abitu miyesh machov kemachovi. What has befallen me should not befall you. Is there a pain like my pain? How many hours do people stand outside waiting to see the president? Their porters were there. They're paid for this. They were there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5:30 at night. They're paid to stand in the street and wait for the president. What a procession. The motorcade that accompanied it from the airport to our hotel. So outside, I took pictures of everything. There's more than 100 motorcycles. The officers were just there all day. In full gear, boiling hot. Tall black boots, you know what that reminds me of. And they were just standing there the whole day. Your taxpayer dollars, hard about work. And all they're just the motorcycle. I'm not blaming them, they're not doing anything. They're doing their job. Motorcycles were all lined up, and the police are just standing there the whole day. They brought him from the airport on their way and take him back to the airport. How much covered for what? A bus or a dam? Did he bring Gula to the world? What's going to be when Mashiach comes? And Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, who I already quoted in Rabbi Akiva Willa's halacha chat, Rav Moshe Sternbach teaches on this Perush HaRash, that by the Geula HaAsida, anyone who is not Mitzapeh LeYeshua will not survive. Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, one of the six questions you'll be asked in the Olam HaEmes is, Tzipiso LeYeshua. Did you hope for, did you long for, did you await for the redemption? Before we get to the piece on Yechezkel HaNavi, who was Yechezkel HaNavi? Yechezkel HaNavi was born in the land of Israel, to his father Buzi, Yechezkel ben Buzi. You know why Yechezkel is so famous? Ra Shifch al Haya, Mashallah Ra'a Yechezkel ben Buzi. So Yechezkel was born in the land of Israel to his father Buzi, who was a Kohen, and he began his career as a prophet in the land of Israel. This is from Chabad.org. Okay? In the year 434 before the Common Era, Jerusalem was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. So this is direct relation to this time period of mourning for the Churban. In the year 434 BCE, corresponds to 3327 on the Jewish calendar year, Jerusalem was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish king, Yechoniah, along with 10,000 captives. This preceded Churban Beis HaMikdash by 9 years. So before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar had already conquered Jerusalem. And the first stage, if anyone joined my JCC yesterday, we spoke about three different stages of exile. The first stage of exile was Galus Yechoniah the king, and the dignitaries and the Torah scholars and the leaders of the people. 10,000 captives were sent to Babel, including the king's family, the nobility of the land, and the leaders of the army. Amongst the captives, because they were the leaders and the elite, sent to Babel was Yechezkel the prophet. Yechezkel spent the rest of his life in Babel, where it's where he had most of his nevuos. Most of Yechezkel's prophecies were in Babel. His prophecies are unique because they were experienced in Babel, in Chutz La'aretz, although as a rule, the divine spirit rests upon the Nevi'im in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, since he had already begun to have prophecy in Eretz Yisrael, he continued to have prophecy once he was in Gala. So Yechezkel lived at the time of pre-Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Rishon, so he himself went into Galus, and he was there when the second stage of exile occurred after Churban Beis HaMikdash, and Nebuchadnezzar took almost the remnant. He left a few under the rule of Gedaliah ben Achikam, but all the remnant of the people then came to Babel as well, and this is where Yechezkel had his nevuas. Perhaps, since he did not dwell in the land of Israel, Yechezkel did not commit his prophecies to writing. Instead, the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, who lived in 360 before the Common Era, accepted the task of compiling the book of Yechezkel. So we know when he lived. He lived during this time period of Churban. He witnessed the Churban, and he had nevuos in Babel. So let us look at one of the more famous nevuos of Yechezkel Hanavi, please. I'm going to put it back on my screen. It is on page 2. Okay. It's from Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Zayin, Psukim Aleph through Yud Dalet. So let's look at this together. Haisa, we know who he is. We had some history. We know when he lived, including the years. Okay. Haisa Allah Yad Hashem, the hand of God was upon me. Vayotzi eni beruach Hashem, and he took me out with the Spirit of God. Vayenicheni b'toch habika, and God put me in a valley. Vihi malaya atzamot, and this valley was full of bones. Vehavirani aleim saviv saviv, and God took me over and around all of these bones. Vehinem in pasuk beis rabos meod al pnei habika. Vehine yeveshos meod, and behold, there were so many bones scattered over the valley, and it was very, very dry. Vayomer Eli, and God said to me, Ben Adam, the son of man, Hatichiyana ha'atzamot ha'ela, can these bones come to life? Vayomer, by the way, where it says Hashem, almost all times it's Hashem Elokim. But for the purpose of Shemos, I took, you know, when it's Aleph, then Dalet, then Nud, then Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey, those double names of Hashem, so we say Hashem Elokim. That's how you pronounce it, but for purposes of not wanting to put Shem Hashem, and it says Hashem with a hey, but if you look in the Navi, you'll see that most instances in this Exod are really Hashem Elokim. I'm telling you that for the sake of intellectual honesty, but you should just be aware, I edited it out for this purpose, Shemus. Yes? Some people are going to be confused. Got it? Okay. So, Pasuk Gimel, Hashem says, son of man, when these bones come to life. So I said, Hashem Elokim Ataya Data. You know, what do I know? Vayomer Eli. So God said to me, here I'm up to this Pasuk, Pasuk Dalid, he nave al ha'atzamot ha'ela. Prophesy over these bones, va'amar to aleim, and you should say to them, ha'atzamot ha'yevesho, shimu dvar Hashem, listen up, you dry bones, to the word of God. Ko amar Hashem la'atzamot ha'ela. So says God to these bones, hine ani mevi bachem ruach v'chiyisem. Behold, I am going to bring upon you spirit, and you will live. V'nasati aleichem gidim, I will put upon you sinews. V'ha'aleisa aleichem basar, I will give you flesh. V'karamti aleichem or, I will cover you with skin. Once again, so you'll have sinews, and you'll have flesh, and on top of your flesh you'll have skin. V'nasati b'chem ruach, you won't be a golem, I will put a spirit into you. V'chiyisem, you will live. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am God. V'nibesi kasher tzuvisi, and I prophesied like I was commanded. V'yihi kol ki navi, I heard a voice, and I was saying my prophecy. V'hinei ra'ash, there was a rattling, there was a big sound. V'atikruvu atzamot etzem al atzamot, and all of a sudden these bones started to join, bone to bone. V'ra'iti v'hinei aleim gidib u'basar Allah v'yikram aleim ar, and I saw there were sinews, and there was flesh coming upon them, and they were covered with skin. Milamala, from on top. Aval, it doesn't say aval, I'm saying aval. V'ruach ein bahem, there was no spirit. So you would imagine like a golem, there's no spirit in them. Vayomer Eli, hinave al haruach, God said to me, where am I up to? Last pasuk over here, I'm just showing them on the screen. Hinave al haruach. Why is there a comment? Wrong page? What do you mean wrong page? I'm not on the wrong page. I'm right here. I'm up to this pasuk. Vayomer Eli, hinave al haruach. And God said to me, prophesy to the wind, to the spirit. Hinave ben Adam, prophesy the son of man, v'amarta al ruach, you should say to the spirit, ko amar Hashem, me arba rucha bowi haruach, upichi baharugim ha'ele v'yichu. And God says, from the four corners you should come, spirit, spirit of life, and you should blow and give life into these dead people, and they will become alive. V'hani beiti kasher tzivini, I prophesied that I was commanded, and the ruach came, and they lived. V'yamdu al ragleihem, they stood upon their feet. Chayil gadol me'od pnod. It was like a great army. Very, very much. Vayomer Eli ben Adam. And God said to me, the son of man, ha'atzamot ha'ela, kol Beit Yisrael. You know what these bones are? These are the bones of the entire house of Israel, Hema. Hinei omrim, yavshu atzmotenu, v'avda tikvatenu. Nigzarnu lanu. And behold, they were saying, our bones are all dried up. Our hope is lost. We have been cut off. Lachain, remember, this is a prophecy in the aftermath of Churban Beis HaMikdash by his Rishon and in the aftermath of Galus. Lachain, hinavi ve'amarta, therefore God says, prophesy and say to them, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, hine ani poteach ekidvotechem. You are not all dried up. Your hope is not lost. You are not cut off. Behold, I will open up your graves. V'ha'aleiti atchem mikidvotechem. I will bring you up from your graves. Ami, my nation. V'heveiti atchem al admat Yisrael. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. You will know that I am the Lord. V'pitchi at kivrotechem. Because I have opened up your graves. And when I bring you up from your graves, Ami, my nation. Last pasuk. V'nasati ruchi bachem. I will put my spirit once again in you. V'chiyisem, you will live. V'hinachti aschem al masechem. I will give you rest. I will bring you back to your land. And you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I have done, promises God. What is this story? What are these bones? Are they really people who came to life? Is it true or is it a mashal? So the Gemara debates that. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin, which is the next source on your handout. D'Tanya was taught in the Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meisim Shehechia Yechezkel Amdu Aragayim. The dead people that Yechezkel brought back to life, they mamash stood upon their feet. V'amru Shira V'meisu. They sang a song of thanks to God, and then they died again. Ma Shira Amru. What was the Shira that they said? Hashem Meimis B'tzedek U'mechaya B'rachmim. They said, God puts to death with righteousness and gives life with mercy. So one opinion is they lived, they sang Shira to God, and they died again. Another opinion, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shira Zu Amru. What did they sing? They sang a pasuk from Tfilas Chana. Hashem Meimis U'mechaya. Makes sense. God gives death and gives life. Morid Sha'ol Vaya'al. He takes down to the Sha'ol, and he brings back up the grave, the depth, the descent. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, MS is a true story. Mashal, it's a parable. Haya, it was. That's a kasha. Was it MS or was it a mashal? Which one was it? Is it true? These bones really came back to life? Or is this just a parable and it didn't actually happen physically? Amar lo Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Im MS, if it's MS, lama mashal, why are you saying it's a parable? V'im mashal, lama MS. And if it's a parable, why are you saying it's true? Ella be'emes mashal. But how do you resolve the contradiction? The emes is that it is a mashal. So Rabbi Nechemiah concludes that the emes is, it's a mashal. The truth of the matter is, this is just a parable. Rabbi Elazar benosh Rabbi Yossi haglidi omer meisim shehecheye yecheskel alu le'aretz Yisrael. It's not true that it's a mashal. No. The dead people that Yechezkel revived went up to Eretz Yisrael. V'nasu nashim, they married women. V'holidu banim u'banos, and they gave birth to sons and daughters. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Basra al Ragla v'amar ani mi bnei bneihem v'halalu tefillin shehinich li avi abba mehem. I am a descendant of those resurrected, and this is the tefillin of my father who came from them. So is it MS or is it a mashal? So that's one way that the Gemara understands this passage from Sefer Yechezkel. Some say it was a mashal, some say it was MS, some say the MS is that it was a mashal. But we also have proof that it actually happened. I have the tefillin. They came back to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Netanel Wiederblank writes in his Sefer Illuminating Jewish Thought, Volume 2, who are these dry bones? And when will they be resurrected? So we already saw the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that they are the dry bones of the people who went to exile with Churban Bayis Rishon and ultimately returned to Eretz Yisrael with Binyan Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Netanel Wiederblank quotes the Ramban, Nachmanides. Who are these dry bones and when will they be resurrected? The Ramban understands the awakening of the dry bones portrayed in Yechezkel is not referring to resurrection at the end of days, Tchias HaMesim, but rather to the messianic redemption. Who are the dry bones? Says the Ramban, they are we, the Jewish people in exile. We look like we're alive, but there's something so fundamental missing that on some level, because of galus, by definition, we're spiritually dead. Who are the dry bones? They are we, the Jewish people in galus. We are dead. That's a quote. In our current state of affairs, we are like a corpse. The messianic redemption is compared to resurrection in that we will be brought back to life. Based on the principle that Sefer Bereishis, says Rabbi Wieder Blank, should be understood as shaping and foretelling Jewish history, we know Maisa Avosim Labanim. Ramban writes, Yaakov's descent into Egypt and eventual burial in Eretz Yisrael are the model for our current exile and future redemption. The pasuk says in Amos, it's the last source on page 2, Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem Elokim v'hishlachti ra'av ba'aretz lo ra'av l'lechem v'lo tzama l'mayim ki'im l'shmoa et divrei Hashem. There's a day coming, says God, when there will be a hunger and a thirst, not a hunger for food and not a thirst for water, but a deep desire to hear once again the word of God. I'm going to end by quoting Rabbi Wieder Blank again. Rabbi Wieder Blank teaches, picture a crying baby with furrowed brows. The infant, uncomfortable and hungry, cries out in pain. The infant does not know if his needs will be met. In an instant, everything changes. And the mother offers her breast and the child suckles. It is clear that immediately the pain has been relieved. The baby's uncertainty has been restored. Her fears have been vanquished. Now imagine a barren desert. Upon seeing a barren desert, a person concludes that there is no life in this desert. He returns 1 week later to see a carpet of green grass and colorful flowers. By the way, this is true. If you've ever watched any nature documentaries, that's exactly what happens in the African savannah and the Maasai Mara in the dry season. It's like the color straw. And mamash, when the rain comes, overnight everything blossoms. It's true. Sounds of life and vitality surround him. What happened? Last week it was dead and this week it's alive. What changed? The life-giving rains have come. And in an instant, everything changed. The baby cries and cries. The baby doesn't have the capacity to know if his mother will come. But as soon as he suckles at her breast, his pain is relieved. As soon as the rain comes, the flowers blossom. These are some of the images used by the prophet Yeshayahu to depict the redemption. The infant suckling at the mother's breast, the barren desert flowering overnight. In the time of the redemption, our mother will comfort us. Immediately, our doubts will dissipate. Our questions will be resolved. Our revival will be breathtaking. The details of how and when exactly this will occur are unknown to us at the present. For now, like the desert thirsts for water and the baby yearns for her mother, we must only wait and anticipate the redemption. May it come speedily and in our days. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to welcome not the presidential motorcade, but the Bias Kol Tzedek, the Melech HaMashiach, and the Binyan of Tzion and Yerushalayim. May these weeks of mourning turn into weeks of simcha for all of Klal Yisrael and for our holy land of Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov.